Welcome to the Shir in Ibn Ezra, Parshas Balak. But to start tonight with an Ibn Ezra, the Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Ches, where the Ibn Ezra deals really with two major issues which he relates to one another. First of all, the nature of this unusual miracle that the Osan, that the Shidanki is speaking, rather unusual occurrence. How does that work? How we to understand that? Also, to understand a little bit better the character of Bilam and what we think Bilam was capable of accomplishing. How great a sorcerer was he? You know, if he had actually gone through and uttered the curses against the Jewish people that he sought to utter against them, would he have been successful? Would he have been able to pull it off? Or was he just pulling Balak's leg the whole time about his ability to curse the Jewish people? So, putting those two issues together, the Ibn Ezra, again, Perachav Beis, Chav Ches, writes, Amr Chazal tell us, which is had in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, this past Shabbos, Shasar Dvar Nivru Ve'er Shabbos Be'er Hashmasha. There are 10 miraculous items that were created that first Erev Shabbos, Be'er Hashmasha, during the twilight period, as Friday went into Shabbos. Of course, we know that the Mishnah lists off that one of those 10 things was the pi ha'asam, the mouth of the donkey that would eventually speak to Bilam. In other words, it was already predestined or preordained that the donkey would have the ability to speak going back to the very, very early days of creation. Well, let's see, Daiti, says to Ibn Ezra, Shatam Shigaza Hashem L'chadesh V'osam Sa'ela. Why is it that the things that are mentioned there that are spelled out as being items that were created during that first Bein Hashmashos, that first twilight period, Shem Chutz L'Toledes? Because these are all items which define nature, which go beyond nature. It's not natural for donkeys to talk. It's not natural for the ground to open up and swallow people in the fashion in which it did with Korach. Again, these are all some of the examples that are mentioned in the Pirkei Avos. Says there's an Ezra. Those items are singled out because they define nature, and hence they were created, they were given their own moment in time during which they were created. Vayomer HaGaon, the Gaon said, part of the Gaonim said, naming the Rastadia Gaon, Kilo Dibra Ha'asa. The donkey, in point of fact, says the scum, did not speak. Aye. I guess Hashem is here also, state Pasuk, that the donkey spoke. So here you find a trend which is utilized by some of the Gaonim and Rishonim, that when the Torah relates certain supernatural events, Some of the Gaonim and Rishonim will explain those events as having taken place in a vision, as opposed to having taken place in real time. Right. So to take an example of this, there's a big back and forth, a battle really, between the Rambam and the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when the Torah there describes how the three Malachim came to Avraham Avinu and they gave him the whole story about how Sarah is going to give birth. So the Rabbi Marna Buchan writes, the whole thing was a vision. It's all a vision that Avraham Avinu saw. In other words, when the prophet starts off, Vayera Elohim Hashem Be'ilonei Mamre, Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu and Elohim Mamre, what that means is Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu and gave him a vision of the three Malachim. The Ramban there, on the Psukim, beginning of Vayera, gets very, very upset at the Rambam for suggesting such a thing. It certainly doesn't seem that that's a vision. It's certain, you know, if you're lucky getting into visions, so you can say anything in the Torah is a vision. It didn't really happen in reality. But that was an approach that some of the Gaonim and Rishonim took. And, you know, there are those who want to apply it over here, that the Osam, the donkey, according to them, did not actually speak in real time, but rather this was a vision that Bilam was having, and in his vision, in his dream, the Osam spoke. Rashu Bar Chofni attacked the Gaon for saying this. So Rabbi Shlomo Atzardi Bal Hashirim Choshav Lahatzil HaNitzvas. Rabbi Shlomo Atzardi, the author of the poems, thought to try to save the one who had been attacked. In other words, if Ezra depicts it poetically, there was a back and forth among the Gaonim as to whether to take the story of the Asam speaking as being an actual occurrence that happened in real time, or something that happened in a dream or a vision. And goes on, in essence, to explain a little bit where the dream or vision perspective is coming from. Da, ki anshei shikur hadas hutzruchu lahosi advar mimashma'am, the reason that these anshei shikur hadas, these people of rationalistic thinking, right, these people who look at everything rationally, the reason that they had to twist the psukim out of their plain meaning, again, the plain meaning of the pasuk, there's a pasuk, right, it's very into pshat. Pshat in the pasuk is that the donkey opened up his mouth and spoke to Bilam. So why would anyone reinterpret that? So before I finish the sentence from the Ibn Ezra, if you were to ask me, I would say, well, I understand why somebody would want to reinterpret that, because it's against nature. I mean, donkeys don't usually talk. But wait a minute. If you're not a Maimon, so I understand. If you're not a believer, I understand you have a problem with that. But if you are a Maimon, if you are somebody who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to do anything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly makes miracles, I mean, it's impossible to read through the Tanakh without acknowledging that there are supernatural miracles performed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, so why would you have a problem dafka with the donkey speaking? In other words, if you, you know, if the person was an atheist, I understand you have a hard time, you know, understanding the story of the donkey speaking. But if you believe in Kriyas Yamsuf, why is it so difficult to believe that a donkey speaks? Right? So, do these Gaonim interpret Kriyas Yamsuf as also being a vision? As also being a dream? Right? So what's prompting them to reinterpret the story of the donkey as being non-literal, something that happened in a dream or a vision? It can't simply be that they have a problem with it because it's supernatural or miraculous, because if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with a lot of other things that are in Tanakh, and this should be the least of your problems. So listen to what the Ibn Ezra says. The Da, Si Anshei Shikol Adah Kutzuchu Lahosi Hadvar Mimashmam, the reason that these quote-unquote rationalists had to explain the story with the donkey in a non-literal fashion, his ki amru ki asher lo yechavesh os ba'olam l'shanos haminos shibara rak lahastik neviya. They had a fundamental philosophical problem with the donkey as follows. We acknowledge, they said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make, of course God can make miracles, of course God can change nature, that doesn't bother us. But God will only change nature and make miracles in response to the request of a Navi, or to somehow intercede on behalf of a Navi, on behalf of a prophet. Bilam is not a prophet. He's not even such a nice guy. Not a good guy at all. So, we don't have a problem. In other words, had the donkey spoken to a Moshe Rabbeinu, that wouldn't bother us, of course. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make a donkey do whatever he wants to do. But to have to change nature to somehow impact upon a non-prophet, and to impact particularly upon Bilam, not just a non-prophet, but it's a very depraved individual, right? It seems wrong that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would change the workings of nature for such a person. In other words, these Gaonim started off from the perspective, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change nature, and sometimes does change nature. But he doesn't change nature haphazardly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only changes nature for someone who deserves it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just make miracles stop. He has to be deserving of a miracle. Why was Bilam deserving of a miracle? Must be that the whole thing was a vision, because Bilam wasn't on a level to be able to deserve to have nature change on his behalf. Right, so how do you, it's interesting, Ibn Ezra started off by saying, I started by Nivra Ben Ashmash with Piha also, right, it's somewhat difficult to interpret that Mishnah as being a, you know, a vision, right? You know, created the vision of the Piha Aslan Ben Ashmasov. But again, that doesn't seem, it doesn't seem to bother the Ibn Ezra, because as we've seen, the Ibn Ezra is quick to say that a statement in Chazal about Agadita may not be universally accepted, even by Chazal, even though, again, that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is stated without Machlokas, and there's, or to the extent to which there is Machlokas in that Mishnah, it's not about the Piha Aslan, it's about other things, right? So, but again, the Ibn Ezra and probably the Gaonim as well felt that, you know, the fact that there was a minor Chazal and a Gadata and Pirkei Avos on that issue wouldn't necessarily mean that that had to be binding. But I think it's hard to interpret that Chazal in any way other than a literal fashion, which I think is why the Ibn Ezra starts off with it, just to let you know that certainly that Mishnah, you know, it's not Chazal in general, but certainly that Mishnah held that the donkey speaking was a literal occurrence. Al-Kafanin, his explanation is a very interesting one. In other words, you know, philosophically, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cause a miracle for the benefit of somebody who was a lowlife, right? And, you know, certainly not a Navi, certainly not a prophet, in the way in which we understand it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't dish out miracles sam. He, you know, you have to be deserving of a miracle in order to witness it. What gave Bilam the schus, the merit, to be able to see such an open miracle? That's what the Ibn Ezra is why the Gaonim wanted to, or the certain Gaonim wanted to interpret the story non-literally, but the Ibn Ezra is not convinced. Lo Amru Emes, they're not right, says the Ibn Ezra, he didn't mince words. Kinei Chananya Mishal Vazariah Nasa Lahem Os? Lo Hayo Nevi'im? Chananya Mishal and Azariah had a miracle occur to them, they were saved from a fiery furnace. And they were not Nevi'im, they were not prophets. So you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes miracles for people who are not prophets. A very fascinating response. I would say there's a couple of continents difference between Bilam HaRasha and Chananya Mishael and Azariah. In other words, Chananya Mishael and Azariah may not have been Nevi'im, but you know, they were certainly ready to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. You would think that, you know, they were tzaddikim. They may not have been Nevi'im, but they were tzaddikim. You would think that being a tzaddik who's ready to give up your life al Kiddush Hashem gives you a little bit of a merit to be able to receive a miracle. Bilam, in contrast, again, as we said, was not just not a Navi, but really was a pretty despicable guy. I mean, we call him Bilam HaRasha. We don't call him, Bilam the Shani of the Elishol, you know? I mean, we call him Bilam HaRasha. So how can you even put them into the same category of Chananya Mishael Azariah? If I was one of the Gaonim, I would say that the response of the Ibn Ezra is not a response at all. You know, the fact that Chananya Mishael Azariah was Zocha to see a name, you know, shouldn't mean automatically that Bilam would be Zocha to have a nace. It would appear, I mean, just because that Kasha, I think, is such an obvious Kasha, and I'm sure the Ibn Ezra thought of that Kasha as well, it would appear that the Ibn Ezra's perspective is different than the way we outlined it a moment ago. The way we presented it is that the Ibn Ezra is describing the position of the Gaonim that in order to be able to be the recipient of a miracle, you have to be on a certain spiritual level. You have to be on the spiritual level of being a Navi, right? And, you know, therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, no, we see that you don't have to be on the spiritual level of a Navi. Even Chananya Mishael Azariah were able to see a miracle. So yes, but they're not on the low level of Bilam HaRasha. So apparently, according to the Ibn Ezra, it's not a function of having a schus, a merit, to be able to experience a miracle, but rather it's just the way miracles work. Miracles, change of nature, is something which can only be given to somebody on the highest level of dveikus b'Hashem, of clinging to God, and that person, to have that level of clinging to God, the person has to be a Navi. It's not that you have to have a schus to have a miracle performed on your behalf. Only someone who has an ability to cling to God can make miracles happen. let's just expand upon this a little bit, because the truth is that Ibn Ezra already said this idea in Leitzim's Parshim Chukah. Right? Because there, Ibn Ezra told us something poetically that was hard to understand. Said to Ibn Ezra, in order for someone to truly make a miracle, a man, a human being can't make a miracle. For a human being to be able to create a miracle, he has to be mevatel himself. He has to nullify himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such an extreme fashion that at least temporarily he becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he can channel that power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has to be able to change nature. Short of that, no miracle can take place. So what the Ibn Ezra seems to, you know, the Ibn Ezra seems to be building on that idea over here. We all understand that Bilam was a Rasha, Hanan Mishra Vazar was Tzadikim, but it's not a function of being a Tzadik that enables a miracle to take place. A person has to be able to create a certain sense of Dveikus Hashem in order to be the conduit through which a miracle can happen, and only a Navi has the ability to create that sense of Dveikus Hashem to enable the miracle to flow through the Navi into the world around. And Hanan Mishra Vazar is just, you know, simply didn't have that. So if you're going to say that only a Navi can bring about a miracle, you know, you have as much of a kasha from Hanan Mishra Vazar as you have from Bilam HaRasha.
Can you say in comparison
to Hanan Mishra Vazar,
that is a miracle to say?
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. No, but the position, that's what I'm saying, the position that Ibn Ezra is attributing to the Gaonim is that for a miracle to happen to anyone, that person has to be able to have such a tremendous sense of Dveikus Hashem for the miracle to then kind of flow through them into the world around them. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes miracles is that he has a human being who has tremendous dekos, through which the miracle is channeled. And other than having a channel like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not create miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, but he chooses to bring miracles into the world through the conduit of someone who has tremendous dekos Hashem. Who has tremendous dekos Hashem? A Navi. And only somebody on that Madreka could be described as having that degree of dekos Hashem. Again, Ibn Ezra rejects this argument. He says, from the fact that Hanan Mishra Vazar got a nace, you see that Nisim don't need people with that level of Dveikus Hashem in order to happen. But it's not a function of why the miracle happened or the schus that the person had. All these things fall out in Ibn Ezra's conception of the position that he's arguing against. You know, the sole reason that you'd be able to get a miracle is to have a person who has an unbelievable level of Dveikus Hashem being the channel through which the miracle can take place. Right, you know, and that's Nevuah. Right. So, you know, that as well, Ibn Ezra would probably use that to support his position. You know, although here, again, so the Gaonim would say, probably, that, you know, what does it mean for Hashem to talk to anyone? That could also be something that they see through a vision. You know, visions, dreams, you know, things that can happen. How to now transformations of nature, you need a Navi, at least they said, in order to be the conduit through which that's going to happen. How Kopanim, that opens up the whole question, was Bilam a Navi, right? In other words, Ibn Ezra attributes to the position of the Gaonim that, you know, it can't be that the donkey spoke because Bilam wasn't a Navi. Who says he wasn't a Navi? So that's the next question that Ibn Ezra takes up. Some say that Bilam was a Navi. Chazal used that lashon when they described at the very end of Chumash, Rashi quotes it, "Lokam Navi Ol Yisrael K'Moshe." Right? There was no Navi in Chal Yisrael like Moshe. So Chazal say famously, "The Yisrael Lokam B'Umos Olam Kam." Right? You know, there was no Jewish Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, but among the nations of the world, so there was a Navi on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was Bilam. Bilam is described as being a Navi. The HaEmes, now, to be truthful, says the Ibn Ezra, Ki Nivu Aso, Hayisav Avor Kvod Yisrael, the only extent to which Bilam was a Navi is that he got Nevuah for the sake of the glory of Klal Yisrael. He Kosem Haya. Because really, Bilam was not a Navi, he was a Kosem. He was a sorcerer. He was a magician. And if you look in the Pasuk, Zechen Kral HaKosuv, says the Ibn Ezra, if you look in the Pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, it actually uses the term Kosem in describing Bilam. He was a sorcerer, he was a magician. A magician and a Navi are not the same thing. So what's the difference between a magician and a Navi? So again, a Navi, as we said just a few moments ago, has a degree of Zedekos Hashem, an ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a profound way. A magician doesn't have that at all. A magician has the ability to do magic. You know, he can do some tricks. Right, he can make, make snakes appear, make people disappear, pull a rabbit out of a hat. You know, he can do all kinds of magic tricks, but none of the tricks involve his ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way. V'yesh Omrin, ki hari yodeh da'afel yonu l'kavel kochom l'matah b'tzuros. Some say that Bilam had the power to really channel celestial powers down here into this world, through tsuros, through various types of talisman, you know, through various types of images and the like. That's if you recall back in Sefer Bereishis, the Ibn Ezra has spoken about how there is this ability, and at one point before the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, you know, they were even among the family of the Avos, those who practiced this ability, to be able to use images to channel certain heavenly powers down here into this world. Perhaps Bilam had that ability, had these real heavenly powers. The Zitam Vasher Ta'ar, you are, right? And, you know, when Balak says to Bilam, anyone you curse is cursed, he really meant it. In other words, Bilam really did have that power. Bilam's curses really came true. How did Bilam's curses come true? How do you have such a good track record? Right? So apparently, some say, Bilam did have the ability to channel certain spiritual powers into this world and to make use of them to curse people. It really, really worked. However, the Ibn Ezra himself disagrees with this, and he writes as follows. Vanachon Deinai, in my eyes it would appear as follows. Ki haya yodea mazalos. Bilam was an astrologer. When he was able to, he was a good astrologer. He could tell what was going to happen to people. So he was a trickster. When he saw astrologically that a certain person was going to get hit with something, he would quickly step in, you know, and he would curse him. Right? In other words, to put it in, modern day terms, he was a good life insurance salesman. He could size the guy up, right? And based on how he sized the guy up, he would offer some kind of curse, and lo and behold, the curse would come true. Why? Because he knew the guy's medical history and the likelihood of something happening to the guy in the very near future. Everybody said, he really knows what he's doing. He curses you. Hashem Ta'ar, you are. He curses you and you're gone. Nah, says the Ibn Ezra. He just still had to play his cards correctly. And when the recipient of the curse would, experience this evil, Yachshavu Haroim V'Hashomim, and in Sodom, everyone who saw or heard what had happened would think, right? They would all think that it was Bilam's Kvala, Bilam's curse that brought about the evil thing. V'ha'ed Shadibir V'mirma Im Sari Balak. Right? And that's the back and forth that he has with the officers of Balak at the beginning of the Parsha. I don't know, should I go? What's he stalling? What's he hemming and hawing about? The answer is he's hemming and hawing because he doesn't really have any powers. Right? He has to wait for the right moment in order, not what Chazal say. Chazal say that, he knew a certain moment of God's anger, he was able to capitalize on that. Says Ibn Ezra, no, he knew enough astrology to be able to figure out when bad things were going to happen, and he would capitalize on that in order to utter his curses. But he wasn't a Navi. you know, at best he was a trickster, he was a magician, he was a sorcerer, he had a certain knowledge of astrology, and basically, to the extent to which God gives him Nevuah, that's really a new experience for Bilam. It's not something that he's had before, and the Nevuah is given to him only for the sake of the Jewish people. That's what I'm after. We'll continue a little bit, just a little bit more about the character of Bilam, as seen through the Ibn Ezra, and we'll continue then. Okay, so welcome to the second part of the Ibn Ezra Shia on the Parshas Balak. Again, we're in the middle of an Ibn Ezra and Perek Chafes, Pasuk Chafes, where the Ibn Ezra so far has laid out, dealt with two issues. First of all, the machlokas among the Gaonim, whether the Osam, the donkey, spoke in actuality or just in a vision. The Ibn Ezra takes the position that it spoke in actuality. But his explanation as to why those who hold that it only spoke in a vision hold that way, he says that position holds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to perform miracles of that nature through or on behalf of a Navi. And to the extent to which Bilam was not a Navi, was not a prophet, so such a miracle would not have been performed on his behalf or through him. That then leaves the Ibn Ezra to the second discussion, was Bilam indeed a Navi? Some say that he was. The position of the Ibn Ezra is that he was only given Nevuah here, L'Kavod Yisrael, for the purpose of the Jewish people, and he himself really did not have any particular supernatural powers. All that Bilam knew was that he knew how to read the stars properly, and based on his reading of the stars, he was able to predict when good things would happen or bad things would happen, and then he would get up and make his predictions, you know, shortly before the things would actually come to fruition, and everyone would think, you know, that he knew exactly what he was talking about. Ashulamad Al-Vidoma, you know, in a different work, it's not a commentary on the Chumash, you may recall a work of American literature, where a fellow from the 1800s is transported back into medieval times, and based on his knowledge of when a solar eclipse is going to take place, he's able to impress, you know, the people around him, and they think that he has supernatural powers because he says, "I'm going to put out the sun." Right? Lo and behold, you know, the solar eclipse takes place at exactly the right time, and everyone is overwhelmed, you know, with his tremendous powers in being able to put out the sun. So according to the Ibn Ezra, that is mamish whatever Bilam had. You know, he just happened to have a very good almanac that told when things are going to take place, and by utilizing that almanac, he was able to create the impression that he knew how to curse or to bless or the like, but it was all fake. The Zed Tam, right, the Ibn Ezra, lo chala horas pi Hashem alokai. Now, the truth is the Bilam HaRasha says exactly that thing. I am incapable of going against the word of Hashem my God. He wasn't kidding. He really wasn't capable of going against the word of Hashem. Ki ein yicholus benosa l'shanos masrei hayotzer ogzei rasa. And the truth is, it's not just Bilam, says the Ibn Ezra. No creation has the power to change what the Creator has made or the decree of the Creator. The Hasod, the secret behind this, is the Achelek or Yishana Achelek. He goes back to the same terminology he used last week in Parshas Chukat in describing the Moshe Rabbeinu's drawing forth water from the rock. The Achelek, the part of creation, a human being, Lo Yishana HaChelek does not have the ability to change or transform another part of creation. Rak Zeras HaKol Tishana Zeras HaChelek. Only the decree of He who encompasses everything, Hashem, can change a portion of creation. Only God has the ability to change parts of creation and to make miracles. Man alone does not have that ability. Right now, again, add this to what we said last time, there is a time where a man can make miracles, where he nullifies himself to Hashem so thoroughly that he's able to get that power from Hashem, to be able to create miracles and to change nature around him. And presumably that's how the Ibn Ezra would explain the statement of Chazal, that Tzadik goes there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, that Tzadik can decree, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill that decree. You know, the Tzadik has to nullify himself to Hashem utterly and thoroughly in order to be able to carry out that change of nature. But certainly someone like Bilam, who did not have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would not be able, you know, to change nature in any way. All that he was able to carry out was to, you know, make predictions, you know, based on his predictions as to what was going to happen, he was able to create the impression that he was blessing or cursing. What's that? Well, tefillah is different. In other words, does tefillah change nature? I think the answer is tefillah can be effective, but tefillah is putting in a request to Hashem to intercede, as opposed to saying that a person can directly intercede in nature. You know, tefillah is lodging lodging a request with the office. And you're putting in a request with the office. The office can make the changes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make the changes, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can choose to change nature and to miraculously give a person a recovery, but it's indirect and from our perspective. In other words, we are not directly changing nature. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change nature. Right, so the Ibn Ezra, though, is understanding, if you held that Bilam really did have the power of blessing and cursing, it would be direct. It would not be, you know, through Hashem that he's asking Hashem to bless or to curse the person, but rather that Bilam would have the power himself to be able to effect this kind of change. Otherwise, if it's just a request, his services wouldn't be worth so much. Right? In other words, good, you can make a request. I can also make a request, right? You know, I want to see results. In other words, can you carry it off? You know, if you tell me that you have the power yourself, that's something. Hayashar, the straightforward interpretation over here is Kia Asan Zivra. The donkey did in fact speak, and again that's consistent with what the Ibn Ezra has been saying up till now. The Imtovin sold Malachi Avram, Gam Yaakov, Oz Tovin Ho'emes. And if you understand the secret behind the angels of Avram Avinu or the angels of Yaakov, so then you will understand the truth. So what he means by that? What's the secret of the angels of Avram, the angels of Yaakov? And what's the truth that he's trying to bring out over here? What does it have to do with Bilam and his donkey? You know, what's that got to do with anything? So the commentary that's written in the Torah's time, the Ibn Ezra says that we see that the Malachim came to Avram Avinu in the guise of people. We see that the Malachim came to Yaakov Avinu in the guise of people. At the end of the passage, Vayishlach, you know, Vayitku Vo Malachi Elokim, Vayomer Yaakov Hasherom, Machne Elokim Zeh. He sees angels. So if we see that Avram and Yaakov saw angels, it shouldn't be so hard for us to understand that Bilam was able to see and perceive a talking donkey. On the surface, it's hard to understand what the logic is exactly. Again, going back to what we said before, so the whole question was not whether a donkey can speak. It was like Kodesh Baruch Hu can make a donkey speak. Kodesh Baruch Hu can make anything happen at all. Kodesh Baruch Hu can change nature in any which way. The Shaila was, you know, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause a donkey to speak to someone who's not a Navi? And if you're attempting to prove that he would from the Malachim of Avram and the Malachim of Yaakov, it's not exactly clear how that proves the point. Avram and Yaakov presumably were on the Madrega of Navi. And with regard to Avram, it says explicitly in the Chumash that he was a Navi, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avimelech and says, V'atha Hashem Eshet Ha'ish Ki Navi Hu V'yishal V'adcho V'chyeh. So in other words, Avram Avinu is called a Navi. So Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu's ability to see Malachim doesn't lead you to the logical conclusion that Bilam should have been able automatically to have a talking donkey interact with them. And Hagar, right, Hagar sees Malachi. Right. So if anything, don't quote me the Malachi Avram, you know, quote me the Malach who's involved with Hagar. Right? So, not quite clear if that's the explanation why, you know, how to understand that the Sod Malachi Avram Kam Yaakov, if you understand that, Oz Tavin Ha'emes, I don't know. I'm not quite sure I understand the explanation that's given to these words by the author of the Baruch Chaim commentary on the Ibn Ezra. I don't know. Maybe there's another explanation over here that I'm missing. I don't know. It's hard to understand. Al Kapanim, you know, certainly the Ibn Ezra is giving us a certain view of Bilam as somebody who basically was, you know, what wasn't worth all the money that Balak was investing in him, you know, to carry out these curses against the Jewish people. One thing which is interesting, which the Ibn Ezra mentions a little bit later on in the parasha, is as follows. Chazal tell us that after Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing the Jewish people, he told Balak, you know, I have another piece of advice to bring down the Jewish people. Elokeim shel Eilas Sonei Zima, the God of the Jews hates licentiousness. So if you can somehow get the Jewish people to sin right in a licentious fashion, that will bring them down, even with the klalos and not going to work. And that, of course, leads to the whole episode at the end of the parasha with the Maisa Shittin. The truth is, later on in Parshas Matos, the Chumash itself indicates that Bilam had a role in the Benos Midyan seducing the Jewish people. The pasuk speaks of Bilam ben Beor who enticed the Jewish people. Limo mal b'Hashem al dvar Beor. He was somehow involved in that incident. The Chumash itself says that. The Ibn Ezra, however, has a somewhat different take on that than the standard interpretation. He says as follows. Bilam may or may not have directly given the Eitzah, says the Ibn Ezra, to Balak, to entice the Jewish people to engage in licentious behavior. However, something that Bilam said in his brachos stuck in Balak's head and gave Balak the idea to send the Benos Midyan to the Jewish people. What was that? So, later on, in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Pasuk says, Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov, v'lo ra omo b'Yisrael. God did not see any sinfulness in Yaakov. He did not see any iniquity in Yisrael. Hashem Elokavimo. Hashem, his God, is with the Jewish people. The way Ibn Ezra understands that pasuk is as follows. Because God did not see any sinfulness in the Jewish people, therefore he is with them. Lo the oven to Yaakov, therefore Hashem Elokav Imo. Right? In other words, it's a condition. Right? If there were to be, says the Ibn Ezra, if there were to be sinfulness in the Jewish people, then Lo Yikalva Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily going to protect us. So says the Ibn Ezra over there, oh, so Balak heard this, and from the bracha, Balak developed an idea. Oh, God is with the Jewish people because of their lack of sinfulness, so let's get them to sin, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will abandon them. Right? So, it's interesting, if you think about it, according to the Shat of the Ibn Ezra, an interesting mussar over here. You have to watch out, as Chazal say in a different context, you have to watch out for even the brachos of the Bilam. Right? Because from the brachos of the Bilam, Balak derived the idea of sending the Benos Midyan against the Jewish people. You have to watch what your enemies say, even when they seem to be saying things that on the surface are nice. Take away... what's that? Right. Right. In other words, but here, from the very bracha, from the very, very words of the bracha, you know, Balak was able to derive, you know, an etzah to go against the Jewish people. I'm sorry? Which Rashi are you referring to? I don't want your blessings, I don't want your curses, right? Right, so the other thing Balak rather is saying, look, you Bilam are a problem to me. That was the passage says. I'm not sure, but in any case, you know, so from the bracha of a Bilam, you know, we're able to, you know, a Balak, a son of Yisrael, is able to derive, you know, something which ultimately, you know, is tremendously harmful, you know, to Klal Yisrael. Okay, we should be zochet to get brachos, which are real brachos, you know, that really impact on us in a good way. So,